Let's go to our message now this morning, and we're actually concluding today our series on the last days according to Jesus. I could have said a lot. Bible's full of this stuff about Jesus coming again, about the way things are going to be at the end of the world. The Bible talks about that. In case you think, that's goofy, that's spooky, that's not in the Bible, it's because you hadn't read the Bible. That's why you make a statement like that. It's all through the Bible. And so we've been talking about it, but specifically, what did Jesus say about it? What did he say about his coming? And quite frankly, you know, it's not quite as tantalating, however the word is, as some might think of it as far as Jesus is concerned. Jesus talked about it. He had quite a bit to say about it, a lot actually, but he put it on you and me. He put it on you and me instead of us getting all excited, oh, looking at this sign, that sign, that. He gave some of those signs, that's for sure. But he put it right on us on how we should live. Are you hearing me? It's not good enough to just, ooh, I heard this or I heard that. What are you doing with what you heard? It's affecting your life, how you live, how you love, how you behave, how you treat other folk, how you read the Bible, how you pray, how you confess sin. Jesus put it on us, man. So we're doing this last day series. Yes, he could come at any moment. No man knows the day nor the hour. No angel knows. Not even the Son of Man knows. That's what the Bible says. He could come at any time. We have no idea. Bottom line is we're to live as if he's coming today. Amen. This could be your last day. Whether he comes or you kick the bucket or I kick the bucket. Listen, this could be our last day. Why don't we make this a good day? Amen? Make this a good day. We get up tomorrow. How about let's work on that one? Amen? Boy, life gets sort of simple if you start living it like that. Amen? So Jesus said a lot about the last days, but he had more to say about the last days as it relates to how you and I live our lives. Let's look now this morning at this message. I've entitled this message this morning because of the weekend. Scream! All right, can you say that with me? Scream! All right, come on. One more time. Scream! There we go. Great. We've called the message Scream, and I think you'll see why a little bit later. Okay, let's keep looking. All right. The disciples asked Jesus, when will these things happen concerning the destruction of the temple? That's how we started off this in Matthew 24, the very beginning, 6 weeks ago. They ask him this question, when's this going to happen to the temple, this destruction and no stone being left unturned? When's that going to happen? Then they ask him these two questions. What are the signs of your coming? What are the signs of the end of the world? So they ask him these questions, and we've been talking about them. And the classic chapters in the Bible on this subject from Jesus Christ is Matthew 24 and 25. And quite frankly, whether we've done a good job or not, Matthew 24 and 25 are two of the least preached on chapters in the entire Word of God. Why? I think you've seen why. It's not exactly easy. It's sort of unusual. And so we've been trying to do it because this is Jesus talking. It's His Word. So let's keep looking. We're almost done with chapter 25. Today we'll finish. Jesus gave the longest answer recorded in the Bible when they asked him about the sign of his coming and the end of the world. And then he took it one step further. Say one step further with me. One step further. That's the message today. He's already answered the question about his coming again, the end of the world as we know it, when things are going to change, it's going to be different. He already answered that. But now he takes it one step further. I want you to stay with me. He described what will happen at the end of the tribulation period. Tribulation period is 7 years of unprecedented anguish and a holocaust of pain on planet Earth. Happens, a lot of people believe it happens. I personally believe this, that Jesus will come before the tribulation period. But there are many, many, many tremendous, wonderful pastors, scholars, theologians that believe Jesus will come at the middle of the tribulation period. I don't know what they think. This is what I believe. I believe it comes to the end. However, almost everybody believes he will come certainly before the tribulation period is over. Okay? So today we're going to look at what he said about something that happens after the tribulation period. He takes it one step further than what they asked. So hang in here with me. We're going to get somewhere if I don't lose you. Here we go. This is a controversial passage. It's often misunderstood. It's rarely preached. Amen? So y'all ready to try to dig into it and see what we find this morning? One of them. Thank you, Cerise. God bless you. I can count on you. Hey, she wants us to do it because she drove all the way from Sarasota to get here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's jump in it. Matthew 25:31. If you're taking notes, you can see we stopped last week just right before that, so we're picking it up. Jesus talking. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And we're going to look at the scriptures all the way to the end of chapter 25 this morning, but this is where he starts it. First of all, we see in this passage, in this scripture, in what we're going to see, that Jesus is the judge. Can you say that with me? Jesus is the judge. And this is going to happen after the tribulation period and before the thousand-year reign on this earth. So just hang in here with me. You can see from John 5:22, the Father judges no man, but he's committed all judgment unto his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 27, he's given him, that's Jesus, authority to execute judgment because he's what? The Son of Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. There's no one better to judge humanity than Jesus Christ, and he is the judge. And we're going to see that this morning. Jesus will preside over, in this passage, the judgment of the nations. Let's keep moving. You're going to see some things. Keep looking. He will be accompanied by his holy angels in the pouring out of judgment at the end of the tribulation in this particular judgment we're going to look at. This judgment will take place when the Son comes in his glory at the second coming. Can you say second coming with me? Second coming. Pop it up, Raj. The second coming is not the rapture. Okay? And to some of you, you probably, what is even that, dude? Okay, I understand where you're at. But the Bible teaches a snatching away of the saints. And the dead in Christ will rise. Sally just sang a song about it, amen? You just heard it. The dead in Christ shall rise. Yeah, that song right there, right out of the Bible. Look at the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, she just sang it, shall be caught up together with them in the what? To meet the Lord where? In the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What we're looking at, the passage of Scripture this morning, is this. It's at the end of the tribulation period. It's the second coming when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. Rapture is in the air, okay? Just sort of for our heads, keep our noggins straight. It's when Jesus Christ comes to the earth at the end of the tribulation period. Where will this judgment take place? And we just got to stay with the scripture, do the math, and we're getting somewhere. Where's this judgment going to take place? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the what? Throne of his glory. If you're not careful, you'll think, well, this is a throne in heaven. It's not. Jesus comes back to the earth, and there is a throne on the earth. He will sit on his glorious throne on this earth. Now hang in here before you cut me off. Isaiah 9, verse 7, a prophecy. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Jesus Christ will reign 1,000 years after the tribulation period on this earth. Okay? That's what the Bible says. Teaches. It's called the fancy word millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Okay? So we're getting somewhere. What's this passage talking about? Can you see why most people don't preach it? I can. I'm thoroughly confused and I've studied it all week. No, not really. I'm all right. Here we go. This judgment of nations, it's called, will take place at the very beginning of the thousand-year reign of Christ. How many have heard of the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb? You've heard of the great white throne judgment. How many have ever heard anybody hardly ever talk about the judgment of the nations? Yes or no? Just a few, right? Happens here. This is what the Bible says. Jesus said it. The judgment of the nations will take place. Who's going to be judged then at this judgment? Who's going to be judged in this judgment? It's after the trib, before the thousand-year reign, right in there. Who's there? Look at it. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from goats. Okay? So all nations are going to appear before the Lord. Who's going to be judged? Keep popping. All nations means peoples. Can you say that? All nations means? I mean, it's not like all the Chinese people. Y'all come, your turn. The Japanese, okay. Russians, next. That's not what it is. The word nations means peoples, Gentiles, non-Jews. Capiche? So they're going to be judged. When? After the tribulation period, before the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years on this earth. Keep looking. There will be believers in Jesus, sheep, as well as non-believers on the earth, goats, after the tribulation period. And that's what he's talking about here. And we're just going to open up the door and look at it. Those who have believed in Jesus Christ are going to reign with Jesus that 1,000 years on this earth. Hey, you know why this is difficult? Because it's different. It's different. It's sort of weird. We're living now, right? Say. But Jesus, they ask him, when's the sign of your coming? And when's the end of the world going to be? And things aren't always going to be like they are. See, we get real comfortable. We think we've got it all down pat. We're in control, dude. Amen. You're not. One day you're going to die. It's appointed a man that wants to die after this, the judgment. Jesus could come. If he comes, what you going to do? You're going to do what he tells you to do. If you're Christian, you're going up, I believe. Amen? If you're not, you're going to be hanging around for some horrible time on this planet for 7 years. And then there's going to be a judgment, and you're going to be there too. That's not a good situation. Are you hearing me? That's what the Bible teaches. Keep looking. Those who refuse to believe will immediately go to hell. That's a tough statement. From this passage of Scripture, Jesus talking, there is a judgment that takes place after the tribulation. Some are going to go right into the millennial reign of Christ. Some are going to immediately be expelled from his presence, separated from him forever. That's what the Bible says. Scream. Boy, isn't that sort of scary, say? Huh? Maybe not be scared if you're there and you're going in, amen? If you're saved, if you know the Lord, these things don't have to make you scared, afraid. That's why, what does the Bible say, John chapter 14? Let not your what? Heart be what? And then what did he say? You believe in God, believe also in me. We don't have to be afraid if we know Jesus. Why? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's why, ooh, I'm scared, I'm spooked. No, I'm not. Doesn't mean I'm arrogant. It means I believe the Bible. That's why it's important at Fellowship Church. We let you know we believe the Bible. Why do I believe the Bible? If I didn't have confidence in the Bible, A, I wouldn't even know how to get up here on Sundays. B, I'd be scared to death because is that real? Is that true? Is that going to happen? Is this going to happen? What? No, I just believe it. Amen? By faith, I believe it. That gives me peace in my life. Let's keep looking. Hey, little rascal. Look at that. The sheep. Here we go. Let's look at it. He said, He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. So hang in here with me. I think you're going to get something as we go along through here. Come on. Matthew 25, Jesus talking now. He's talking about this judgment and what's going to happen. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his what side? Right. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we you sick or in prison and we came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, say it with me, my brethren, ye've done it unto me. What's this talking about? I think we've established there's a tribulation. During that tribulation period, there's people here on this planet. There's going to be a judgment of the nations. Doesn't mean countries, peoples, all people. Separated from sheep and goats, right hand, left hand. He's dealing with the sheep. Who are the sheep? The sheep are the believers in Jesus Christ. The sheep are the believers in Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. There will be people who are believers, who are born again, who are saved, who come to know the Lord. There are believers during the tribulation period. Keep looking. They are true believers. How do we know that? The evidence of their relationship with Jesus Christ was truly manifest in what they did. Did you hear that or not? Well, I'm a Christian. Can anybody tell? Say. Jesus says, you ought to be able to tell. Okay? And look at what he said. Pop it up. Here's how he could tell. Here's what he told them. Look at it. Watch it. Just pop them up. They gave food to the hungry. Next. They gave drink to the thirsty. They gave hospitality to strangers. They gave clothes to the naked. They visited the sick. They befriended those in prison. Were they righteous because of what they did? No. What they did was an evidence of their relationship with Jesus Christ. It was an evidence of their righteousness, of their being clean, of their being forgiven. They did what they did because they had a relationship with Jesus Christ. The works did not get them into the kingdom. It was an evidence of who they really were in their heart. These were true believers in Jesus Christ. They had faith in action. Can you say those last three words? Faith in action. Look at what 1 John says. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Now listen, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Next. But whoso has this world's goods, he sees his brother have need, and he shuts up his bowels of compassion for him. How dwells the love of God in a person like that? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in what? Deed and what? Truth. So these were true believers in the tribulation. They loved in deed and truth. Keep looking. We're not done with these sheep yet. Verse 19, hereby we know that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. You know what? That ought to help some of you today. If you're a believer in Christ, it ought to show that you're doing something for the Lord. Amen? Not to impress me. Not to impress somebody else. You do it because you just have to. Amen? It's inside of you. And that ought to be the most assurance of anything in your life, that you truly are a follower of Jesus Christ. He can change your life. If you can do that and you can become that kind of person, that's what he wants for your life. Who did they do this for? Can you say that with me? I know I'm getting you here because I don't want you to sleep on me. Who did they do this for? Who did they feed? Who did they do that to? Read the Bible. Look at it. The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least, my what? Brethren, you've done it unto me. Keep looking. Look a little deeper. Who did they do it to? My brethren. Who is my brethren? The Jews. The Jews. During the tribulation period. Pop it up, Roger. Let's keep looking. Zechariah 13 tells you what's going to happen in the tribulation period to the Jews. Look at it. Verse 8, it shall come to pass that in the land, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire. I believe the tribulation will refine them as silver is refined. I will try them as gold that is tried. They shall call on my name. I will hear them. I will say, it's my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Keep moving. 2/3 of all Jews will die during the tribulation period. Keep looking. Those who refuse the Antichrist will face annihilation during the tribulation period. That's what the Bible teaches. They will be hated. They will be hunted down. They will be exterminated. And some of you might think, Pastor, you're just crazy believing stuff like that. How many have seen the news lately? And you've heard the leader of Iran. What's he calling for? Somebody help me. He's calling for the what of Israel? The total annihilation of the people of Israel. I mean, friend, you can just believe what you want to believe. You know what I believe? The Bible. 2,000 years. And this prophecy, Zechariah was given hundreds of years before that. This is what the Bible said would happen in the last days. Are we in the last days? I don't know. I'm just going to live like we are. Amen? I'm going to make this day count. I'm going to do the best I can do. Why? That's the best way to live your life, friend. I don't know. But I tell you what, that's what's going to happen in the tribulation period. And watch this. Those assisting them will do so at their own peril. And I just want to stop just a minute. There's a big difference in giving somebody a cup of cold water. I mean, that's a nice thing to do. Here, have a cup of cold water. I do it all the time. We have water in the fridge at the office all the time. So does anything. You can come by anytime you want. We give water and pop away out to Gazoo. I mean, everybody runs up down the stairs. You want some water? You want some water? We let them come in. We got people we don't even know coming in and getting water. That's fine. It's fine. They have all the water they want. All right? But listen to me. There's a big difference in us just handing out some water like that and you handing somebody some water and somebody puts a gun to your head and blows your brains out because you gave water to somebody that it was going to be exterminated, annihilated, and you said, guess what? They're my brothers and I'm going to stand for them. And I'm going to stand with them. That's what I'm disgusted today, many times, when I hear in America people that are just trashing Israel. We will do that as a nation at our own peril. Okay? If you don't know your Bible, that's your problem. You need to see that Israel is the apple of God's eye. Our Lord and Savior was a what? Say it with me. Jew! Well, that's different. It's not different. What a stand with God's people. He stands with His people. Why should a Christian who names the name of Christ stand in another position other than the position that God stands? That's stupid. What a stand with them. Does that mean they're perfect? No, they're not perfect. They do wrong, sure. If they do wrong, they need to be judged for it just like anybody else that does wrong. But we need as a people, the Church of the Living God especially, and I would like it with America as well, because I happen to live here, that we also would stand behind Israel. Amen? Because this is what God says. Jesus Christ says, you do it to these, you're righteous. Boy, that matters to me. So the sheep, so they do this to the Jews. Jesus says to the true believers, that's those who do right regardless of the consequences. He says this to them. Watch it. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. So where do the sheep go? They go right into the what? The kingdom. They are righteous. They are rewarded. But watch the second part. Here we go. Scream. I mean, they're cute. Isn't it funny? We're going to talk about it. You're going to see a picture a little bit later, not right now, just a little bit, of how similar they look. And there's a lot of you here today. You look similar to me. You look similar, but I'm not a fool. Not everybody in this building today is a true believer in Jesus Christ. We might look alike. We might sing all the same songs. We might be listening to the same message. But if Jesus Christ today were to come to judge you, what would you be? Would you be a sheep on the right hand, or would you be a goat on the left hand? Depart from me, I never knew you. But I went back. Doesn't matter, they both do. Amen? Well, I look like this, big deal, looks ain't cutting it. Do you know me? Do you have an evidence of your faith? Let's look at the goats quickly. Doesn't take a whole lot of time here. Then shall he say unto them on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you? When did we do that? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you sit with me, did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What's it saying? The goats are unbelievers in Jesus Christ. There's no evidence of a true relationship with Jesus Christ because they do not know Him personally as their Savior and Lord. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils in your name, done many wonderful works. What will he say? And then will I profess unto them, say it with me, I never knew, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's what we're seeing here in this judgment of the nations. Here's seven characteristics of the goats, or those that are going to be cast into everlasting judgment. They claim to be Christians. You think anybody ever got separated from God for eternity that claimed to be a Christian? Yes or no? Of course they do. How about you? That's tough talk, but I mean, it's good for us. Number two, they know the truth, but don't act on it. Three, they hide, they're ashamed, and they're afraid. Their belief doesn't affect their heart. They are damned by their lack of faith. They deny Jesus Christ, and guess what he does to them? He denies them. Well, that's not very good, God. It's not very Christian-like. God doesn't take his orders from you. Okay? He just really doesn't care what you think. Or I think. He is God, and we are what? Say it with me one more time. He is God, and we are... Say it with me if you can remember this quote. God is big on... One more time. God is... Let's try this one. It's all about... That's some good teaching right there. If you hang on that stuff, it'll help you in your life. It sure helps me. They immediately go into everlasting punishment. That's what happens to the goats. Now, finally, we're done, but hang in here with me. Look at them. Look at them. Don't you feel like this is like an old episode of what was it? What was that show with Beverly Hillbillies? What's wrong with you? It's Green Acres. That's Uncle Jed. All right, here we go. I'm reminding you of Beverly Hillbillies. Okay? Hang in here with me. If you give me a couple, 3 minutes, we're done. Maybe. Here we go. I do not know if you're a sheep or a goat. I do not know. I love you. But I don't know everybody in this building or who'll be watching this on television or listening over radio. So I want to help you. I want you to be able to find out today if you're a sheep or a goat. Deal? Say. Isn't that good time well spent on Sunday? Say. Because if you're not, if you're a sheep, that's great. If you're a goat, that's some serious screaming. So I got five screamers coming at you right quick. Throw them, Raj. Here we go. The sheep and the goat, remember, their sounds are similar. They both do this. Say it with me. Baa. Isn't that interesting that he didn't use a sheep and a wolf? He used a sheep and a goat. Why? Because that's what you have in the body. That's what you have in the church. You have a lot of times it's very similar, but both ain't going in. Many are going to say, Lord, Lord, tough luck. It ain't happening. Their sounds are similar. Look at this. Even as babies, they look alike. Look at them. Oh, ain't they so cute? I mean, seriously, some of you, honestly, that weren't raised anywhere around animals, if you saw that little sucker right there, you'd probably think that was a sheep, wouldn't you, if you didn't know any better. You know what I'm saying? Well, I don't know. He sort of looked like one. You know? All right, so even as babies, they look alike, but their destiny is totally different. In the Bible, scream, five screamers. How can you tell if you're a sheep or a goat? These are verses that I looked at in the Scriptures. I just thought about it, and they screamed at me. They screamed at me. See if you don't agree with me. Watch it. Here it is. Number one, faith. Faith. You can tell if you're a sheep or a goat by your faith. Look at this one. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Does that scream at you or what? When you read the Bible. Well, all roads lead there. No, it don't. See that? I'm the only way, Jesus said. Do you have faith in him? If you don't, you're not a sheep. Look at this one. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he what? Is. And that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You might be here today, well, I'm not sure if there's a God, then you're not a sheep. I'm not trying to put you down or judge you. I'm trying to help you. Let's look at the next one. Confession. Confession. Screamers. How can I know if I'm a sheep? Look at it. Matthew 10:32. Tell me if you ever thought this verse screamed at you. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whoso shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Has that verse ever screamed at anybody other than me? Say. And it's not about me parading you up front down here and letting you go, I believe in Jesus in front of the body of Christ. This is talking about in that world, do you stand for Christ? Not are you ugly or mean. I'm talking about do people know you're a believer because you're not ashamed to say, I love my Lord. He died for me. I've been saved. I'm born again. I'm a Christian. I'm not perfect, but I am a believer. You can write my name down. That's me. Have you done it? If you say, well, no, I don't want to offend anybody. Meh. Which is it? Look, Romans 10:9. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Your faith and confession. 1 John, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God, thou shalt be saved. Have you confessed him? Do you confess him or do you deny him? 3, sheep or goat, commandments. Has this one ever jumped out at you? If you love me, keep my commandments. What does that say, the other flip side of the coin? If you don't love me, you what? Won't. How are you? I'm not talking about do you keep the commandments to gain God's favor, but do you do right because right's what you want to do? Say, I want to do this for the glory of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we'll come in unto him, and we'll make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. I'm going to just say something. I don't want to be ugly. But as a counselor, I get a little tired of trying to talk Christians into doing the right thing. By loving your wife, sir, being faithful to your wife, doing the right thing. By being a good father, a good mother, doing the right thing. Fill in the blank. We ought to do it because it's right. And I belong to him. That's a screamer, baby. Do you do it? Are you a sheep or goat? Keep looking. Next screamer is this one. This one screamed at me probably all week worse than any of them. Look at it. Mark 11:25. And when ye stand praying, say it with me. Forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may what? Forgive you, your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Well, I'm a Christian. But you're not forgiving people that's wronged you. Who you expect to wrong you? The good people? Say, who you gonna forgive? I'll forgive the really nice ones. What's that about? We forgive those who wrong us. Does, when somebody wrongs you and treats you like crap, excuse me, does that mean that from now on I don't have a brain and realize what they did to me? Or does it mean I forgive them but I also am aware of what happened? Of course, God didn't want you to throw your brain in a trash can, but he wants you not to be bound or hate those people or not forgive them. Are you hearing me? There's not one person on this earth that I have not forgiven. Now, I don't say that proud. I've had to work at it. I've had lots of people wrong me. But I, you know what? These people are not going to affect my relationship with Jesus Christ. And that ain't me. Me wants to pop them in the mouth, beat them upside the head. That's me. This is Jesus working in me that lets me forgive them. Do I like them? A lot of them, no. But that doesn't mean I hadn't forgiven them. Now, you might not agree with that theology, but that's my theology. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, they're forgiven. What they did, I forgive them in Jesus' name. Okay, keep moving. Judge not and you won't be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and what? You'll be forgiven. Are you a sheep or a goat? Well, I don't want to forgive. Well, are you a sheep or a goat? Forgive us our debts, the Lord's Prayer, as we forgive what? If you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. If you're not forgiven, last time I checked, you ain't going in with your sin. Luke 23:34, then said Jesus on the cross, what did he say? Say it with me. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Okay? Great verse, you might want to write this down. To whom ye forgive anything, Paul writing, I forgive also. For I forgive, forgave anything to whom I forgave it. For your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. You might say, Pastor, you don't know what they've done. I can't let it go. I'm asking you today, forgive them in the person of Christ. Forgive them in the person of Christ. I'm not saying you can forgive them in your strength. And if you've been violated, hurt, I understand. I know that pain. It's horrible. My own mother was murdered 12 years ago. I know that pain. It hurts. But let me tell you something. You can forgive in the name of Christ. And boy, bah, I'm a sheep. I can forgive in the name of Christ. You can do that in the name of Christ. You can't do it in your own strength. It's impossible. We got to do it. Why? So Satan can get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Finally, the last thing is this. How do I know I'm a sheep? Well, how do you feel about the Bible, Scripture? Look at it. Revelation 22, last book in the Bible, last verses in the Bible. For I testify unto every man that hears the words. Tell me if this ever screamed at you. For I testify that every man that hears the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take his part out of the book of life. And out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book, verse 20, he that testifies these things, Jesus Christ says, surely I come quickly. Has that ever screamed at anybody say? I close by saying this today. I believe that once you're a Christian, I believe your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I believe you're not saved because of works. I believe it's the blood of Christ. I don't believe you can work to keep yourself a Christian. I believe you work because you are a Christian. I believe in the tribulation. They fed, they gave food, they gave clothes, they visited. Why? Because they were true believers. We don't do to get. We get because he gave. We do because of what he's done. But I want to say something to you. That part about taking from the Bible is the Word of God. And even though I believe what I just told you, that scares the snot out of me. Excuse me. Listen, here's the point. Here's the point. Here's the point. What are you, a sheep or goat? What are you, a sheep or goat? How did you answer those five questions today? How did you look at those 5 points? Okay, that's what I got out of this lesson today. I don't expect to be there during the tribulation at that judgment whatsoever, because I'm going to be gone because I'm a sheep when he comes at the rapture. Amen? Y'all with me?